Today, I want us to take a few minutes to forget about the cares of this world and the things that bog us down and the things that maybe distract us in so many ways. And I want us to focus on our goal. Oftentimes we get overwhelmed. Oftentimes we get stressed and we get worked up. And there's so many things that can distract us in this world. But today, right now, I want us to focus our attention on heaven. Revelation 21 is 1 through 8 is what we're going to cover today. But Revelation 21 and 22 gives us a glimpse of what heaven will be like. Maybe these scriptures are well known to you because they are often read, maybe at funerals, or maybe they're often read because we need to know and look forward to these times where we can be with God forever and that place that we're striving to come to. When we look at these scriptures, God gave man a picture of what heaven will be like for us to understand this. And perhaps this is one last plea from God for us to join him in this heavenly abode. From this scripture, we get an understanding of a new dwelling place. We get an understanding that the end, there's an end to this earthly sorrow. We also get an understanding of the greatness of the speaker. And we get an understanding for the need for us to overcome. John gives us a glimpse of what this scene in heaven is like. And he, through this vision he has, and that this is going to be when after Jesus returns. Remember, he was here on earth, and in Acts chapter 1, he ascended to heaven. When Christ comes again, he is going to judge the world for the things that they have done, whether they be good or whether they be bad. Well, he's going to judge us for those things on earth. When we look at this is going to be after that. And he said in verse 1, we see this new dwelling place. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth have passed away. Also, there is no more sea. Then I, John, saw a holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Whenever we look at this passage of scripture, verses 1 through 3 in Revelation 21, we see God and man dwelling together. We look at this, the last time that man and God dwelled together was in the Garden of Eden. Now, I do understand that God is, through the church, we can be his body of people, the Christians, and we can be followers of Jesus Christ. But the last dwelling was when we see the Garden of Eden, and maybe this is that was a glimpse of us, but this is going to be different. This is going to be a whole different scene because we see God dwelling with man. And there's going to be a difference here. We see the tabernacle is a symbol of fellowship, perfect fellowship. We see in John chapter 17, in Jesus' prayer, in verse 20, he said that he prayed. He isn't just praying for the disciples. He's praying for all that believe in him through their word, that they may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. And I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect in one. And when we look at this, wow. How exciting that would be to be one with God, to be in the presence of God. And whenever we look at this, that we may be perfect in one, that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them as you love me. When we look at Jesus's prayer, that Jesus was praying for us to have this type of unity now here on earth. And how do we have that unity? We can't have this perfect unity unless we are following God's word. We are looking at scripture, how to be that perfect unity. And this perfect unity can be had to a point on earth through the church, through Christ's church, the church that Jesus promised. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and that is the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Jesus' church, the one that he died for on the cross, the one that he reigns over, he has authority over, that we can have that unity if we are in that church, that fellowship with them. But we look at this seed, it's when we're in heaven and he sees this new dwelling place coming on, and this new dwelling place is different from the dwelling place here on earth, because the first one has passed away. Peter talks about that in 2 Peter chapter 3. If you turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. I'm going to read all five of these verses. And it says, "For this they willingly forgot that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water in the water." Now this is Genesis chapter 1, where God created the earth, and by the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. That is the time of Noah. And then verse 7 it says, "But the heavens and the earth, which are preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Now this time of judgment is when Jesus comes again the second time. And he said this in verse 9, that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but he is long-suffering, not willing for any of us to perish, but come to repentance. And he said this, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both on earth and the works that are in it will all be burned up." This is a new dwelling place that we are going to be with. And then we're going to be with God eternally. And this new tabernacle is a symbol of fellowship, that we will be with God. And we get this understanding of this, and we see it's going to be different. And John saw this, and he saw the new Jerusalem coming. And it came down from heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, me being a man, and I'm looking at my soon-to-be wife, and I see her coming down the aisle. And I imagine this is what John was seeing as God coming in this new establishment was. He compares it as a bride and a groom. And I remember that time when I got married, and the day that I saw my wife at the back of the church building coming down the aisle. Oh, it was the most beautiful scene I could ever imagine. I can still see it in my mind and how beautiful it was. And this is what he compares it to. The heaven is coming down, and it's going to be a place where we can dwell with God eternally. Oh, what a place we can be. And what a great thing. And we see a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." We are finally with God. We dwell with him in eternity forever. We can be in the presence of God, and God will be with them, and he'll be their God in a way it should be. We can be together with him. And this is so we can, and isn't this beautiful? Isn't this beautiful, the time where you can look forward to this? We see John gives us an understanding of this new dwelling place. We also get an understanding that the end of earthly sorrow is going to be gone. Look at verse 4. "And God will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, for the former things have passed away." You see, this earthly sorrow, the stuff that each one of us experience from day to day, it's going to be gone. There's no more tears. We understand tears. We understand tears. it's going to be gone. We understand death. There's going to be no more of that. We understand mourning and missing those that have gone on before us. There's not going to be any more mourning. No more crying. Oh, I can't wait for that. No more pain. We feel pain each and every day, maybe in some way or another. This is all going to be gone. This earthly sorrow is gone. It'll all pass away. And Jesus gives us this simple teaching. This simple teaching from God is like when Jesus was on the earth and gave us simple teachings that we can understand. We understand that Jesus is the light, and in him there is no darkness. We understand light and darkness. We understand also hunger and thirst, and how we should hunger after righteousness and thirst after it, that we should strive to be like Christ. But we see the end of this earthly sorrow is gone. You see, there's a relationship that we can understand this. This is a simple teaching. When we look at heaven, it's not going to be there, because this is an emotion that we all experience in life, and it's going to be gone. And we won't have to deal with this anymore. And John also goes on, and he gives us an understanding of the greatness of the speaker. Look at verses 5 and 6 in Revelation 21. It says, "Then he sat on the throne and said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountains of water of life freely to him who thirsts.'" When we think of making things new, we often make things new things. But this is going to be completely different, as we talked about earlier. A new heaven and a new dwelling place. This is going to be something new. And these are faithful and true words that he tries to express them the best we can. And he tells John, write these down. These are faithful and true words. And believe them. Long for that time. Strive to get there. That's what it's written for, is for us to believe them, to long for that time, and to strive to get there. And we look at the greatness of the speaker. Look at Revelation 22, verses 3 through 5. We see here that it says, "And there shall be no more curse." What is the curse? It's death. Remember that the curse that was given and that was told to Adam and Eve, that they partook of the fruit? That you shall surely die. But then right after that, in Genesis 3:15, we get the promise. The beginning of the promise is that he's going to send us a redeemer. One who is going to redeem us of our sins. We need to be faithful to him. We know that Jesus came to this earth. He came and lived a perfect life, and he died on the cross for each and every one of us. And we see that one of the things he said is that the curse will be gone. And go back to Revelation 22. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. What a place to be. What the greatness of what Jesus did for each one of us. He overcame the world. And he is the beginning, the end, the Alpha, the Omega, the eternity to eternity. Jesus has overcome the world. And he gives us the reason to have hope in him. He beat the one thing we fear most, is death. He's overcome the world. And we know, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have hope in that resurrection. And think of what Jesus said in John chapter 14. In verse 1 through 4, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my house there is many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again And you, and to sum it up, is we can be with him. And he was telling his disciples to comfort him so they know that. And we look at what Jesus has done. He is given us that time to live our lives on this earth, but also know that there's something better awaiting. That he is going to come back and we're going to be able to go with him. And he tells them, Thomas, he said, well, how do we know? Where are you going? And what do we do? We don't know the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way we get to God. Jesus is the way we get to heaven. And then we see in the scripture, we see that he said to me, write these words are faithful and true. It is done. It is complete. This is the time where we can be with God now. And he said, and I will give a fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. Think about the woman in the well in John chapter 4. When Jesus asked for a drink and she said, you know, there's that conversation that he had with the Samaritan woman there. And he said, if you would have asked me for living water, I would have given to you. The water that I give you is living water. You'll never thirst again. You see, that's what we have here. This is a fountain of living water that's going to be offered to us there. We'll never thirst again. Well, you know, and that's just a great illustration of the greatness of the speaker who Jesus is giving us the words here to help us to get an understanding of what heaven is like. We also see here in Revelation 21 the need for us to overcome. He said this in verse 7, he who overcomes shall inherit all things. I want us to focus on these words right now. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. Jesus is telling us we have to do something about it. We have to overcome this world. We got to do what is right. Overcome we'll inherit all these things. All the things that we just mentioned in verses 1 through 6, we'll inherit them. But we must overcome. When we look at overcome, what does that mean? What do I have to overcome? Well, we have to overcome sin. And the only way that we can overcome sin is by having our sins forgiven. God has given us grace. He's given us an opportunity to be right with him, and that is through Jesus Christ. But we must believe in Jesus. We must believe it. We can't just go and say, well, God gave us grace and now we don't have to do anything. No, we have to believe in Jesus Christ. We have to repent of our sins and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of our sins. Have those sins taken away that we can live faithful to God the rest of our lives and know that we are saved. And what do we have to overcome? We have to overcome sin. There are so many things that this world tempts us with from time to time in life. But we need to overcome them. He goes on in verse 8. He said, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We can look over the Revelation 20. Verses 13 through 15, to get an understanding of this, it says, the sea gave up the dead who were in it. The death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. See, we need to overcome sin. We need to have our name written in the book of life. And we cannot have our name written in the book of life unless we are in Christ Jesus. We have been baptized into his blood, into have our sins washed away, to be in the right relationship with God. We must overcome the sins of this world. Look at 2 Peter. If you would, turn to 2 Peter. Chapter 3. We We looked at some of this already. I want us to continue our reading. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 through 14. When we look at this, it says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, this world, what manner of person you ought to be in holy conduct and godliness. Think about that for a second. Knowing that this world is going to pass away, knowing that we have this great place, heaven, and when we think about these things, how should we act? We should act differently. Knowing that we have a chance to be with God eternally, that we want to make sure we got it right in this life. And he said, what manner of person ought we be? In holy conduct, in godliness, looking for the hastening, the coming day of God, because which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for this new heaven and new earth, where righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent. Be diligent to be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. See, we must overcome. We must be in Christ. I can't think of a beautiful thing as heaven. Oh, how I want to be there. David understood this, and he wrote in Psalm 15, verses 1 and 2, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy city? He was longing for it, and he wanted to be there. And he said this, he who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. You see, he wanted to be there. We want to be there. Let's take some time this week and reflect on our goal, heaven. From the scripture, let us long for this new dwelling place. Let us long for that time that there will be an end to all this earthly sorrow. And let us remember the greatness, what Jesus has done for each one of us. And let us long for the time that we can be with him, where there will be no more time of sorrow or death or any of those things that we talked about. And let us strive to overcome in this life. Are you a Christian? Are you a faithful Christian in the right relationship with God? If you're not, I'd love to talk to you about that. I'd love to show you what the Bible says and how we can be right with God and have that peace that passes all understanding. Have that peace that we know that we can be right with God because God says so in his word, how we become a Christian. And that is believing in Jesus, repenting of our sins, confessing that Jesus is the Son of God, being baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, and living faithful the rest of our lives. If you haven't done that, I encourage you, I beg you and plead with you to get your life right with God so that we all can be in heaven together with God eternally.